Yo, it's Jey Uso from WWE.
And I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer. SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting.
Than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience.
With Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino and enter for your chance to win.
Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Are you really buying a car online on AutoTrader right now?
Really?
At a playground?
Yeah, really. Look at these listings from dealers.
Wow, your search can really get that specific.
Really?
And you just put in your info and boom, car's in your budget.
Mom needs a second, honey.
You can really have it delivered?
Really, or I can pick it up at the dealership.
Mom! One sec, sweetie.
Mommy's buying a car.
Mommy, look!
I think your kid is walking up the slide.
Kyle, again? Really?
Auto Trader. Buy your car online. Really?
As a woman entrepreneur, you know that every connection counts, whether it's with your customers, your team, or your community. Spectrum Business is here to help you build those connections stronger and faster. Imagine running your business with fast, reliable, fiber-powered internet so you can stay connected to customers, employees, and vendors without having to worry. We know flexibility matters. That's why select Spectrum Business packages come with a 3-year price guarantee, so you can focus on running your business. Plus, enjoy savings on internet, phone, TV, and mobile services when you bundle, all with a 30-day money-back guarantee and no long-term contracts. With Spectrum Business, you get more than just internet. You get support with 100% U.S.-based customer service. Real people who understand small business, ready 24/7 to help you stay up and running. Join millions of business owners like you across America who trust Spectrum Business for reliability, speed, and support. Visit spectrum.com/business today to get started. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
What do you think about the Laker team now?
You follow the box scores of the games every day.
Just the Lakers.
You're kidding. That is really a compliment.
I was pleased to see you smile at the top of our show, because once the game starts, you have a game face. You don't smile much out there.
I don't think you have to do things for money anymore.
Correct.
What's up, Laker fans? Welcome to the Laker Film Room Podcast. I'm Pete, joined by Darius. And last night, our Lakers moved to 7-2, sole possession of the second seed in the West with a victory over the Spurs. And it was a slog of a game, D. It started out with Austin as a late scratch, downgraded from questionable to out. So Luka played, Jackson got upgraded to being available to play. But it was a game that the Lakers were down for most of it. It was also just, again, a slog of a game. Lasted almost 3 hours. There were 66 fouls called. 9 players had at least 4 fouls. 3 of them fouled out, all on the Spurs. Both superstars were in foul trouble all night with Wemby and Luka. But the Lakers find a way to gut it out and pull out the win. I thought their defense down the stretch was superb and pretty good for most of the night. They figured it out despite not the best shooting night from Luka. Talk to me about the Lakers moving to 7-2 against the Spurs.
So a great win and a bad game. I was pretty irritated and frustrated throughout the course of that game. The player who was catching much of my ire was Luka Doncic, actually. And you look at his final stat line and it's just like, how could you be irritated with this dude? He had the ball so much, and some of that was dictated by the Spurs' coverages. Like, they were switching 1 through 4 and really trying to keep Wemby around the basket. And so it was really limiting driving lanes and a lot of finishing inside. And that meant a lot of jumpers and not a lot of driving kicks. And so fundamentally, I understand, it was frustrating all the same.
Absolutely. Yeah. And on the drive and kicks, you're not getting any depth to your penetration. So your drive and kicks aren't that great, not getting the best threes. So yeah, they were frustrating the Lakers early on. Only 10 points in the first like 7-8 minutes or so.
The Spurs clearly understand the defensive weapon they have in Wemby, and it allows them to like hug up not only on drivers, but to make it so that they're also not lurking too far off of their spot up players.
Yep.
Because Wemby is such a weapon in being able to shut down the paint. And there were plenty of times where pretty much against every other center in the league, besides maybe like Gobert, that the Lakers would have attacked and taken a shot in so many different situations, and instead they just turned the ball around.
This was Reddick's comments to Mike going into the half, is that he felt like they were turning down too many opportunities going to the basket, sort of dissuaded by Wemby's presence in the first place.
Later in the game, and I think Stu commented on this, Marcus Smart just took it to Wemby and was just like, I don't care if I get blocked sort of drive. Did what Marcus Smart does, which was play to contact a little bit. Is he really trying to score, or is he just trying to get his arms raked a little bit? But he took it up strong. Wemby fouled him. Every foul on Wemby was critical. He fouled out and he was in foul trouble much of the game. But in getting back to my Luka point, I was like, man, this is very much Harden ball sort of game from Luka. Super productive. He had some amazing plays, and I don't want to discount those at all. But just the amount that the ball was in his hands and every possession lived and died with whether or not he essentially made a long jump shot or created something out of nothing. You combine that with the lack of flow to the game due to all the calls. I wanted to shut this game off 25 different times.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, okay, the Lakers are down 4. They're down 6. They're down 9.
Yeah.
It's 12 now. I had texted you guys last night and I was just like, I don't think the Lakers are going to win this game. And it's super frustrating to me to sit here and watch how this is the game that they ended up playing against the Spurs. I was just mad.
Yeah.
And I'm like, is this going to change at all?
You know, every time we've been without Austin the last couple of years, the pace has been noticeable, the difference in that. That was another thing that Reddick commented on going into the half, was just like picking up the pace and playing with more pace and how essential that was. And so, yeah, between the refs and how they blew a whistle for every little thing and the absence of Austin. But the Lakers, that's part of what I've loved about this little stretch, is they problem solved. Yeah. They fought through. It was the game that we saw the most amount of Luka in the post, after we saw a lot of what you were just talking about, where they're really pressed up on him on the perimeter, but you got Wemby lurking back in the paint. We saw just some adjustments from the Lakers in terms of how they wanted to attack, to varying degrees of success. But it was just, it's just nice to see that level of in-game, okay, they're doing this, it's, what we're doing isn't quite working, let's adjust and flip our attack point a little bit and see what we can get.
Yeah, much more Marcus bringing the ball up, much more Laravia bringing the ball up, almost like using Luka as a big man in a lot of ways, like starting him at opposite dunker spot or opposite corner and bringing him across a double screen across the paint with a guard screen. And it's just like, we're trying to get Luka in the post. And they started to double him when he was getting into the post. And he had some amazing plays out of middle wing touches. He had that great over the head pass where he found Rui and he was like swarmed and underneath the basket and he jumped and he essentially threw a no look pass over his head to Rui above the break on the right hand side of the court. He had this great split of a double team on the left block where you can see it from a certain angle where LeBron and Austin were on the bench sort of just like, did you see what this MF-er did? LeBron sort of miming how he like pushed the ball out to split the double team. And he's strong as an ox. He essentially split the double and like knocked Olynyk down, just like shouldering him and Olynyk losing his balance. And then he pushed that dribble through. And then he had this great, great lob to Jackson where he went in the post and he spun and Luke had been getting doubled from the baseline side basically a bunch prior to that. And he's like, I already know Jeremy Sochan's coming. And so he caught the ball, spun, and in one motion just flicked the ball up before he even looked. Basically, it was almost, I don't even know, man, like the way a soccer player would like just turn and shoot on goal after gathering, and all in one motion, spun, flicked the ball up to Jackson, who was rotating over, caught the dunk and won. The guy raked his arm and Jackson was still able to gather at the end. So again, I don't want to make it sound like Luka wasn't great. He was great in so many ways. It just aesthetically, it was like not my style of basketball where I was getting frustrated by it.
It wasn't Luka's style of basketball. Afterward, they commented on he had a career high 5 steals, and I want to get into the Lakers defense in a bit.
Yeah.
But he was like, yeah, that's the only thing I did well tonight. But this is, again, part of what I love about this stretch of the year is different games have different personalities. You're going to have different aspects of your game clicking on one night or the next. And really that idea of problem solving and figuring out, okay, how do we get there? One thing I wanted to bring up, it seemed like the Lakers were very intentional about we're going to get Wemby into foul trouble. A lot of those fouls that he drew were very much we're going after Wemby. And they started doing that to Luka as well. And they picked up, you got Luka in a little bit of foul trouble. But just that figure it out on the fly aspect of things, I'm just so happy with how they performed.
Yeah, and this is where I want to go back to crediting Redick. I think it was Sam Quinn from CBS. He had posted something on social channels where he laid out the Lakers' wins, and it was, there's this win, and no LeBron, and no whoever. And then it's no Luka, and no LeBron. It's no Luka, no Austin, no LeBron, no Gabe. No LeBron, no Gabe. Ayton went out at halftime. No Ayton. And over and over and over again, the Lakers are now 7-2. They have not had their main starting lineup a single time. LeBron made All-NBA last season and was 6th in MVP voting, has not played a single minute this year. I get he's the oldest player in the league, but I feel like there are times where the minimization of what a 41-year-old player might be able to do when it's actually a guy who finished 6th in MVP voting last year. He's an awesome player.
Yeah.
And whatever sort of a rough runway that we might envision possibly of his reintegration into the team is going to add LeBron James at some point. It's going to be freaking great. And the Lakers are still 7-2. Just like you said, they are second in the conference behind OKC. They have the third best record in the league right now. Shout out the Chicago Bulls, who have the second best record in the league. I don't know if anyone had that on their bingo card, Pete, that it would be OKC, Chicago, and the Lakers for the top three seeds in the entire league. But here we are at nearly the 10-game mark, and got to credit the players, of course, for showing up and delivering and executing on what needs to be done in game. But credit JJ Redick and his staff for not only mapping out pathways to win these games, but getting the guys on board. I remember he said this 4 or 5 games ago where he said, I'm asking a lot of these guys. The team is not whole. I'm asking a lot of them and they are delivering for me. And there's a togetherness to them that I think is being fostered by the head coach and by this coaching staff. And I think that's one of the key reasons they are where they are. And so let's go to break here. And when we come back, we'll keep going.
Yo, it's Jay Uso from WWE.
And I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer, SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting
than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience
with Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino
and enter for your chance to win.
Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Are you really buying a car online on AutoTrader right now?
Really? I can get super specific with dealer listings and see cars based on my budget.
Mom!
You can really have it delivered.
Or pick it up.
Mommy, look!
I think your kid is walking up the slide.
Really?
AutoTrader. Buy your car online. Really?
As a woman entrepreneur, you know that every connection counts, whether it's with your customers, your team, or your community. Spectrum Business is here to help you build those connections stronger and faster. Imagine running your business with fast, reliable, fiber-powered internet so you can stay connected to customers, employees, and vendors without having to worry. We know flexibility matters. That's why select Spectrum Business packages come with a 3-year price guarantee, so you can focus on running your business. Plus, enjoy savings on internet, phone, TV, and mobile services when you bundle, all with a 30-day money-back guarantee and no long-term contracts. With Spectrum Business, you get more than just internet. You get support with 100% U.S.-based customer service. Real people who understand small business, ready 24/7 to help you stay up and running. Join millions of business owners like you across America who trust Spectrum Business for reliability, speed, and support. Visit spectrum.com/business today to get started. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
We talked about Luka some. I want to talk about DeAndre Ayton.
Amen.
Because this dude's been awesome to start the season. I know he's missed a game and a half, essentially, with the back spasm stuff, but he's been a critical performer in pretty much every Lakers win. He outplayed Rudy Gobert and Naz Reid by a fair amount, combined, both of them. He dominated Sabonis in the win over the Kings, and then he really took it to Portland in this game that they won. They don't win that game without DeAndre Ayton's 29 points and double-digit rebounds. And then again, this last night against the Spurs, I understand Wemby was in foul trouble and the Lakers' entire defensive game plan was geared towards stopping Wemby and slowing him down. But who had the better stat line last night, DeAndre Ayton or Victor Wembanyama? And again, it's DeAndre Ayton. I'm not saying he's the better player, obviously, but he's been great. I want to keep acknowledging every single time that he does this because he's helping the Lakers win games. It's not just empty stat padding numbers like we were told it was going to be with this guy. He's a critical performer and he's driving winning.
Just an extremely talented player to add for nothing at all and under $10 million. From last night's game, I thought it was his best defensive performance of the season, particularly in the second half. I thought he was pretty good throughout, but in that fourth quarter, the Lakers really turned up defensively. In that closing 6 minutes or so, his rim protection was as good as I've seen it. He was moving his feet with Castle. He had a transition play, transition defense, where he closed out to, I want to say it was Champagne in the corner, and it ended up with like a midi from Wembanyama at like the elbow that he ended up missing, but he turned what would have been a wide open corner transition three, one of the best shots in basketball, into a much more difficult shot that ended up being moved purely off of his hustle. And so having that aspect, that able to move his feet, able to block a shot and use his length, and just seeing him, we're talking about the team overall finding different solutions to different problems in different games. Him individually has shown, we've raved about his work as a screener or his work in the pocket or his work on the defensive glass. He had four offensive rebounds last night. But last night, I thought that we saw kind of the best defensive version of him. Talk to me about what you saw from DA.
One of the things that he's been doing defensively, Pete, which I did not grasp that he would do, is his ability to keep appropriate distance when being switched onto guards and maintain enough space so that he's not giving up blow-bys all the way to the basket. We often think of switching bigs as guys who can really take away everything that the guard is trying to do and force them into like weird spots, right? Like I think of AD and some of the end of game possessions he's had against Steph Curry, for example, or how even like, man, he had a great block against Cade Cunningham a few years ago that I remember when the Lakers were playing the Pistons. He did something similar to Tyrese Halliburton in Indy. And I can rattle off play after play after play in my mind where Anthony Davis was just like, he's one of the best switching bigs in the league. I would never say that Ayton is one of the best switching bigs in the league, but one of the things he does really well, I think, is understanding I've got a huge wingspan and I'm going to sit back in a stance where I am both always close enough where you think I can contest your jumper, but I am deep enough in my drop to understand that if you drive, I'm going to be able to slide my feet and take the right angle and challenge you. And some of the blocks that he got last night were basically just tracking a driver as he's sliding with them and keeping appropriate distance. And when they just go up to shoot it, he's just like, no, man, I'm freaking 7 feet with a whatever, 7'3" or 7'4" wingspan, like whatever it is. And I'm just going to swat this. And he's gotten multiple blocks like that during the season. But against the Spurs, where they did not have him guarding the other team's center, he was often on a wing. He was on Harrison Barnes some. He did get some possessions on Wemby, but he did end up on Stephen Castle. He did end up on Devin Vassell. Like, he did end up on Keldon Johnson. And these are possessions where it's just like, he's doing his job defensively. So the effort stuff, the transition stuff, like, I'm all for that. Like, the Lakers need as much of that as they can get. But just in general, in the half court, he's getting switched on the wings and he's holding his own. And that's not something I would have said, yes, that's what I'm expecting from DeAndre Ayton this season.
Can we talk more broadly about the Lakers' defense, D?
Yeah.
We focused a lot about the offense, both in the offseason and as the Lakers have started this season very well on that end of the floor. But I think they're starting to come together a bit on the defensive end as well. That defensive playmaking and using your size and intelligence, which is what you're really describing there, is understanding the physical tools that you have and leveraging them properly, I think is very much the way. And the drawing charges, picking up steals, forcing turnovers in general, I think is a big part of what this Lakers team can be on the defensive end. But we had much more modest expectations and hopes on the defensive end relative to their talent. But so far, I've been pretty happy with where they're at, especially considering they're going to be adding a defender that I think that they desperately need in LeBron. Lakers don't really have another defender quite like him at that forward spot. And so I'm fairly happy with where they're at, but just wanted to flesh out a little bit that idea of what the Lakers can be on the defensive end now that we've seen them for 9 games.
I want to bring it back to the stat that you brought up with Luka. I think he had, 5 steals and 2 blocks? And there's a level of defensive playmaking with this team that I think is going to be critical to their overall defensive success. I don't know what their defensive efficiency ceiling is in terms of placing. I think right now they're 16th or 17th in the league. If they end up being a top half of the league defense, I think that would be a win for them. If they end up near the top 10, I think that you're going to have to talk about them as a legit championship contender. Mm-hmm. They're not there yet, and we'll see if they can get there. That said, Pete, what they can do, and in the games that they've won, which is damn near 80% of their games, the defensive playmaking, the steals, the charges, the random blocks, the turnovers where they are forcing the team to throw the ball out of bounds, the zone possessions they had against the Heat where they sort of flummoxed Miami a little bit and Bronny's getting 2 or 3 steals in a game just on simple tracking the ball because we contained you in a way. It's just the junking up of the game in ways where that doesn't always show up in your overall defensive rating. But if you get enough stops or it just turns into a turnover that you can then turn into offense, this is what we talked about with OKC when we were talking about them in yesterday's pod. OKC's ability to turn defense directly into points. Now, they're at a whole nother level because in the half court, they can be a dominant and just get stops and get defensive rebounds. But one of the things the Lakers were doing yesterday was Luka's getting steals and then he's going the other way and it's turning into layups. Marcus Smart is getting a steal and it's turning into a layup. Now, that's not just a stop, Pete. That's 2 points in the other direction as well. And you do that a handful of times a game, and suddenly that is how your offensive efficiency is top 5. Yep. It's not just that you're a great half court offense team. It's that you get enough in transition. So to me, it's the playmaking that is just do they have other things they can shore up? For sure. But if you get enough steals and blocks and drawn charges and you're turning the team over, that's how a really good offense becomes a great offense because you're just getting more chances than the opponent.
Let's go to break here. Come back. Keep it going.
Yo, it's Jay Uso from WWE.
And I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer, SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting
than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience
with Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino
and enter for your chance to win.
Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Are you really buying a car online on AutoTrader right now?
Really? I can get super specific with dealer listings and see cars based on my budget.
Mom!
You can really have it delivered.
Or pick it up.
Mommy, look!
I think your kid is walking up the slide.
Really?
AutoTrader. Buy your car online. Really?
As a woman entrepreneur, you know that every connection counts, whether it's with your customers, your team, or your community. Spectrum Business is here to help you build those connections stronger and faster. Imagine running your business with fast, reliable, fiber-powered internet so you can stay connected to customers, employees, and vendors without having to worry.
We know flexibility matters. That's why select Spectrum business packages come with a 3-year price guarantee, so you can focus on running your business. Plus, enjoy savings on internet, phone, TV, and mobile services when you bundle, all with a 30-day money-back guarantee and no long-term contracts. With Spectrum Business, you get more than just internet. You get support with 100% U.S.-based customer service, real people who understand small business, ready 24/7 to help you stay up and running. Join millions of business owners like you across America who trust Spectrum Business for reliability, speed, and support. Visit spectrum.com/business today to get started. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Pete, you had mentioned LeBron as a player who could end up being a critical defensive player for them. It's very interesting. We got a health update on LeBron. Yesterday, Shams was talking about it, but today the Lakers released their information that he has been cleared for contact work and that he will be reevaluated in 1 to 2 weeks. This is good news. It puts him basically right on that timeline that had been discussed previously as possibly like a mid-November-ish return to action. And so what say you about the LeBron James seemingly getting closer to making his season debut?
You know, we did a full pod on this recently called When LeBron Returns with Jason Timpf of Hoops Tonight as a guest that I'd recommend everybody checking out for more of the details. But I sort of want to zoom out in that I was watching SportsCenter after the game last night, and they're interviewing DeAndre Ayton with Scott Van Pelt, and he's on the air, and you hear LeBron in the background. Yeah, five. And DA's kind of cracking up, getting through the interview and all that. Remember where we were? Right after media day, we were like, okay, LeBron sounds in it. And then we're in game one and he's looking like an Easter Island statue and vibes are bad, right? And we'd said that, you know, this is an opportunity for the Lakers to establish themselves as whatever they are without LeBron. Good, bad, ugly, indifferent. But now that we're a little bit more down that road, 9 games into that, and the Lakers are 7-2, that there is a certain amount of, I can't wait to get back to this, I would imagine, from LeBron's point of view, that if he's looking for ring number 5, this is a great opportunity. You wrote an article about this, D, prior to the season of like, actually, if you look at this Lakers team, this is LeBron's last best chance at it. And so just sort of building that identity that this is one of the grittiest starts to a season I've seen the Lakers team have. They play hard every night. The stretches in which it's like, you guys got to turn up your energy are less than they've been in several years. And that isn't a finger point to LeBron or anything like that. It's just that this is how this has played out over the last couple of weeks, that I think it's a beautiful thing that could not have happened with his enormous presence there in the first place, that sometimes, you know, things have to happen in a certain order for you to get the most out of them. And so it's more that level of enthusiasm that like, oh crap, we have a good team and we're adding LeBron James to it. There is going to be all of this pearl clutching about, oh, how do you reintegrate LeBron back into the, my basketball team is good and now we add LeBron James and we're not sure how to do it, is the most first world basketball problem of all time. Right? Like, this is a great spot for the Lakers to be in.
It's also a consistent framework of how can we two sides a story? This is like not just a sports idea, it's a media idea. But what is the downside of this? You just won the lottery, Pete, but now there's all these people who are going to be asking you for money. It's just like, oh, wait, you mean I have $1 billion and now there's a downside to it?
Right.
Oh, no.
And you're going to focus entirely on that? The Tim Bontemps version of covering basketball.
So it's a funny thing. If I understand that, and we talked about this with Jason, that there are going to be things that do not go smoothly.
Welcome to life.
You're bringing back one of your best players who hasn't played at all, did not play at all during the preseason. The number of reps that he has not been a part of, the number of in-game situations and the chemistry building moments of on-court activity that he has not been a part of, those things, he's going to have to like get up to speed with this group of players. That said, when you were describing the stuff that happened during the Ayton interview and the general like involvement that I've seen from LeBron. He hasn't been going to road games. So at all of these home games, the moment that we described with Austin earlier, with them on the bench sort of marveling at the move that Luka made, the number of times in the last couple of home games where LeBron has sort of jumped out of his seat and been excited about a play, the brawny lob that he caught from Austin, some of the stuff that Luka's been doing, Rui hit a shot and they went into timeout and LeBron is like giving him the look, right? Because, you know, LeBron and Rui work out a fair amount during the summer. It makes me think of that Dave McMenamin quote from before the season when we knew that LeBron was going to be out. And I think the comment that David made was that LeBron's going to be monitoring the situation closely as to what the Lakers are. And it was very ominous, or it could come off as ominous about, well, is he all the way in? And then when you couple that with like what it was like after the first game and they lose, it's just like, is there a problem?
Mm-hmm.
Are things going to go sideways with LeBron? But now he's screaming in the background during player interviews. He's like high-fiving guys and animated on the bench. He is looking much like the player that we've seen in the past.
That's
when he sat out with injury in terms of his level of engagement and buy-in with what the group is doing. And so to me, Pete, the monitoring closely has turned into this dude seems excited about the team that he's coming back to. And for me, that only portends to the team being even better than what they've been to this point. Will there be some navigating points that they need to get through and some challenges that they need to work through? Of course. And I think it's good for us to acknowledge that those things are not only possibilities, but are likely realities up front, so that when they do happen, we're not going to act like the sky is falling and we're not going to act like it's not going to work, because I believe long term it is going to work. This is, if not the greatest basketball player ever, he's someone who is the most accomplished one ever. He's the all-time leading scorer. He's got 40,000 points and over 10,000 rebounds and 10,000 assists. If you find me another player who's done more than this dude, I don't know where he's done it, because I ain't been on planet Earth. On top of that, he's also one of the smartest, highest IQ, most versatile players ever. So what are we talking about here? We're talking about LeBron James. LeBron James, LeBron James. Give me the meme. From my perspective, look at this group. Look at the resiliency they've had. Look how they continue to win games. 5 straight wins now. Every night missing a ball handler. An additional ball handler. 3 ball handlers. Last night, no LeBron, no Austin, no Gabe. Nick Smith got some run again. It was just like, okay, well, we're going to piece this thing together as best we can. And they just continue to win. And to me, I wasn't thrilled with the flow of the game or how the game looked last night. But when you can win on those nights.
Yes.
I mean, what are we talking about, Pete? We're talking about a very good basketball team is what we're talking about.
That's an excellent Spurs team that was 5-1 coming into that. And as I said earlier, different games have different personalities. They pose different challenges, and you got to be able to win a slog, just like you got to be able to win a shootout. You got to be able to win a closely whistled officiated game. You got to be able to win a let them play, go wrestle with each other type of a game, and all of those types of games in between. And so this is, we talk about getting ready for the playoffs, and this has been my favorite start to a regular season in quite some time, not just because of the record, but in part because that in-game problem solving is exactly what you face in series basketball when you got to beat this one team and the problems that they pose, which are totally different than facing another team in a different series.
This goes back to the quote from Wemby that we talked about in the last segment of yesterday's pod, which was Wemby saying that Luka's just one of the hardest players to scout against because of his overall mastery of the game. This is why the Lakers are a threat in the playoffs, Pete. It's because they have historically one of the best problem-solving players ever in LeBron James. And then now they also have this Luka Doncic guy who is pretty tough to game plan against, because whatever scheme you throw up against him, he's got skill solutions to. He's got actual practical solutions to of, nope, can't really double me.
I've seen whatever you're going to try to do thousands of times, and I know the answers to the test.
Yeah, it's like, oh, well, you try to switch a big on me. Yeah, good luck with that. Oh, you're going to blitz me? Yeah, have fun with these 4-on-3s that are going to be created. Oh, you think you've trapped me? Actually, I've still got a live dribble. I'm just going to split you here and then dribble and get a little layup at the basket. It's like over and over and over again, he is the walking solution. There's literally no defensive problem that he can't solve. And when you add that to what he's doing defensively and his commitment on the defensive side of the ball, which I know is something that you brought up earlier, he's playing at an MVP level. And if you're going to talk about who are the favorites or who should be considered like the best chances to win a championship, it's typically the teams that have the guy who's in the running to be the best player in the league. And you almost always start conversations with those players. It's the last several years, it's been Jokic and SGA, and you can never count out Giannis. Like, that's been literally every discussion we've had about the league, right? And so the Lakers have Luka Doncic. And before, like, even with the Mavs, it was just like, well, you can't count out Luka.
Nope. You put a competent team around him and go to the playoffs with that, then they can really make a run. So yeah, no, we're in it, D. We've got a squad that can do something, and it's cool to be on this ride.
It totally is. And again, like, just shout out to all the secondary players and the role players who continue to step up in like a variety of ways to help this team win. I understand that the stat lines aren't always great. Right? Like, Laravia didn't have a great, like, numbers game last night. His first shift and or shift and a half were, like, very, like, quiet compared to what he'd been doing in the past. But throughout the game, like, a defensive stop here, a nice defensive rebound there, like, a connecting pass there, like, oh, like, a little dive, a back cut, like, all of the connecting things that he does, he continues to do those things. Marcus Smart drawing fouls against Wemby, standing in there and taking charges against other players. I think of Wemby's 6 fouls, Smart might have drawn at least 2 of them.
Yeah.
On that drive to the rim and then picking up that charge. Smart also had that unfortunate final play in the game.
Yeah, we got the full Marcus Smart experience last night. I was thinking that the whole time while you were talking right there. And that was $1 million idea right there for sure. Like, that would have ended the game, but it almost ended the game in the wrong direction. And yeah, he had that look on his face on the bench that, you know, I made a bonehead play. I was trying to make a smart play, but it went the other way.
Well, also, too, at the end, him saying, come on, man.
Yeah.
You know how many times that happens a game, and you go and call it on me in that moment. But it was so egregious.
Yeah,
it was so egregious, too.
That's the Lamar Odom school of inbounding the ball. You can't do that. All right, we're going to wrap up here. I'd like to do the first mailbag of the season tomorrow. So go ahead, send in your questions to us on Twitter. You can email me at LakerFilmRoom@gmail.com as well. We'll get to as many of them as we can. But until then, you've been listening to Laker Film Room Podcast. We'll catch you guys next time.
Baines has got it in low to McHale. McHale wants to turn his double team. Just pass out of front, broken up by Worthy. Tip to Magic. Worthy dies on his belly. Magic scores.
Yes, Magic got it. Magic fires again, and the Lakers win the game! The Lakers win the game!
Rebound to Lonnie. 3 seconds left. Van Exel the winner. It's on the way.
Kobe Bryant, 48 points, 16 rebounds. Shaq with his 8th block shot that ties an NBA Finals record.
A lot of Laker fans sticking around for this.
You're seeing something that's very rare indeed. A Laker to get MVP chance
right, in Boston.
In Boston.
Of all places.
Are you kidding me?
Kobe. Hard to believe.
Are you kidding me? Unreal. Are you kidding me?
Lakers looking to push. Bryant spinning in the lane. Back for Gasol. Ready pass. And it's back to a 3-point game.
Kobe Bryant picked up by Bell.
There's the move. 2-1.
Miss it.
Bryant. Unbelievable. For the victory. It's over.
Shot clock now to 5. Bryant.
Yes!
And that was a little tap to Alvin Gentry.
Okay.
Add insult to injury, Kobe. I mean, what a shot. I mean, you can't defend that. Are you kidding me?
2.1 seconds remaining. Denver a foul to give. Jokic trying to disrupt Rondo. He puts it in. Here's Davis, 4-3 in the win. Oh, it's good! Anthony Davis has won it for the Lakers! James again. Oh, he hits another one. LeBron James putting together a closing quarter against the Nuggets.
This historic 2020 NBA championship belongs to the Los Angeles Lakers. The Lakers conquer the bubble, and banner number 17 will soon hang in the rafters.
Are you really buying a car online on AutoTrader right now?
Really?
At a playground?
Yeah, really. Look at these listings from dealers.
Wow, your search can really get that specific.
Really?
And you just put in your info and boom, car's in your budget.
Mom needs a second, honey.
You can really have it delivered?
Really, or I can pick it up at the dealership.
Mom! One sec, sweetie.
Mommy's buying a car.
Mommy, look!
I think your kid is walking up the slide.
Kyle, again? Really?
AutoTrader. Buy your car online. Really?